Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Ephra Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
Accurately diagnosed infirmity with mankind, aside the fall that has regulated everything as God has ordained, there is also the challenge of ignorance that the spirit realm continue to make reference to as it pertains to man and his inheritance. The Bible says, my people, although they are God's people, although they are advantaged, although the covenants are for them, spiritual resources were made available for their advantages, he said they perish. And the reason for their perishing is lack of knowledge. In Psalm 82 verse 5, he says they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. So when we talk about ignorance and we are talking about the reign of darkness, we are not just talking about somebody not knowing who they are. We are also talking about Satan taking advantage of that ignorance. That knowing that you don't know, there are things Satan does comfortably around your life. On the ground that he knows, you don't know who you are, number one. And number two, you don't know the things that are reserved for you. There is a level of ignorance that begins to affect not just a person, but a territory. Jesus looked at Jerusalem and cried over it and say, if only you know the seasons of your visitation. So they could not discern God's program even over their life. And so they became victims. They know not. They know not. Tonight, the title of my discourse with us is They Know Not. I'm trusting God that before we leave here, somebody will handle genuine results. Something tangible out of God's mountain tonight. You see, this place is not a hall. It's the mountain of encounters. This is where men are summoned into fraternity with scrolls of light. This is where the hidden things that are reserved for your appearing. This is where God unveils it to you. So you didn't come here with your friend, although you walked into the hall together. When we appear here, everybody comes as an individual. Because your encounter is customized. Just you and him. Unveiling things only you know that you have never told a man. Showing you things that will make victory and make a life of comfort and favor available to you. Pray for 1 minute wherever you are. Lord, open my eyes and speak expressly to my heart for your servant hear it. This is exactly what Eli told Samuel. He says, when you hear that voice again, tell him to speak. Speak. Speak, Lord, speak. Speak.
Would you breathe, Lord?
Hallelujah. Please turn to your left, to your right. Shake hands with somebody. You know, exchange pleasantries with them. And be gloriously seated in the house of God. They know not. They know not. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 11. It will be projected. I want everybody to follow very carefully tonight as God's word will be coming expressly to our hearts. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 11. We'll read verse 12 and then we'll go to verse 29. From verse 11, everybody, if you can see it, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Next verse, quickly. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I want us to do it holistic, then we go back to look upon what the emphasis of these scriptures are. Can we do that? So let's go to the last verse that I said. We'll read verse 29 very quickly. In verse 29, the Bible speaking, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you. It shall be. May the Lord bless his reading in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back and contemplate on these matters. And let's see what God will have us fraternize with. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, it began this way. God said, let the earth bring forth. Come on, just stay with me. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Please say, God said. Come on, say it again. God said. I want to show you a disparity between the ancient order and what is obtainable with us. When God was creating the earth, as it were, he used words to generate every result. Because the Bible says he upholds all things by the power of his word. So, as it pertains to the fishes of the sea, to the cattle of the field, he commanded the territory. He commanded the ecosystem to produce their life form. He looked at the land and said, let the land bring forth. So, it was the earth that brought forth its inhabitants. Amen. He looked at the sea. He says, let the sea bring forth. So, the sea brought forth the inhabitants. It will interest you to know that God did not tell the air to bring forth anything. He told the land, populate yourself. He told the water, populate yourself. But he restricted the elements that will operate in the air, that it is the water that will produce them. So the Bible says, every fowl of the air from the water. One of these days, I will teach you a little mystery about dominion and spheres. Then you will see that the power that rules the water is one of the strongest agencies as it pertains to spiritual deliverance. When you confront marine spirits and you try to shift their base of operation, that is the most vocal spirit. They are the ones that will give you a historical overview of what it took to secure the base of their operation. So they have very strong claim to legalities. But today is not for that. So we will continue in what God is bringing to our gates. So when God was speaking to this ecosystem, commanding them to populate their space, there was something strange happening there. That anything God creates, God does not intend to repeat this process again. God does not intend to command the space to create realities for itself again. So God allowed, through his divine will and his superior wisdom, that everything will come with its seed, so that this cycle can be sustained, but not by supernatural means anymore.
So it will not be because God said that's why grasses will grow anymore. It will be because the grasses that were commanded to grow from the beginning came with their seed. And if you can do adequate business with seeds, you can recreate this result, you yourself too. So seed is a system of empowerment given to man to recreate the results of God. So that anything you see, as long as you can assess the seed of that thing, you too, you can recreate it. It will be foolishness now to go and stand in front of any land as a farmer and say, I bid you in the name of God, I speak over you. You are not supposed to speak over lands again. There are seeds made available that if you want to recreate this result, you will use the seed. Maybe we'll go over that scripture one more time. It will make sense to you. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grasses, the herb yielding seed. So as the grasses are coming, let them yield their own seed. So that there will be no time where I will need to recreate this thing. There will be no time where men will need my help on this matter again. I have done it. I have left a system of restoration. I have left a system of recreating this result. So nobody needs to pray to me for this. When I'm done teaching tonight, you will tell a difference between ignorance and prayer points. There are many things that are not prayer points. When you are even sweating around it, the only thing that your whole action is communicating is ignorance. They know that they know not. They know not. See what they said? They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. See, he said, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. So the ordinance that guides operations, the ordinance that guides results, he says they have been abandoned. People have developed foreign ways and they are surprised why there is no results. Please say, I know. Come on, say it like you mean it. I know. You see this title, they know not. I'm not speaking about you. We are starting from diagnosing the state of the world. Then we enter a superior place of knowledge where we know. We know. Say it one more time. I know. Listen. It will interest you to know that it is not only plants that God left a seed for the sake of recreating those results. Meanwhile, there is a very clear statement in the Bible to suggest to us that God did not create man to be a very helpless creature that cannot take any step without him. God wanted man to have a measure of control, a measure of self-will. In fact, if God did not fashion self-will into man, man will not have capacity to disobey God. The fact that disobedience can be arrived at, it means you have capacity to take a posture that is not God's will. So God gave you the capacity to take steps on your own. And this is what makes you like God. Because you are not restrained. You are not boxed. You are not squeezed into actions. You deliberately do the things that you wanted to do. When you look at all other lives, from the birds of the air, the egg that every bird will lay before they will become a bird, that egg is a seed. That's the seed of that life. Every human being too will start as a seed. And you will be developing gradually from zygote, I think, to an embryo. Eventually, you will eventually mature into a fetus and then a baby. Now, all of this developmental process goes on carefully, but once upon a time, you are a seed. And God continues to make reference to this particular point, replete in scriptures, where he's made reference to the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. They are talking about seeds, just as they spoke about every herb bearing seeds. So it means that as much as recreating results, replicating God's patterns is concerned, if you can assess the seed of anything, you can recreate that result. First Corinthians chapter 7, very quickly. God's program is sustained and it is regulated by seeds. I said here that seed is God's system for continuity, for reproduction, and for multiplication. If you are writing, a seed is God's system for continuity, for reproduction, and for multiplication. And God continues his program through seeds. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 from verse 13. Very quickly. Everybody, can we read together? 1, 2, go. And the woman which has an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Amen. You see, follow me. I know you are asking yourself, what is the link between this matter and what we are sharing about seeds? He says, the woman, the righteous woman that mistakenly, maybe in the days of ignorance, lack of discernment, caused her to marry an unrighteous man. And a righteous woman ended up with an unbeliever. The Bible says, let her not walk out of her marriage on account that my husband does not believe what I believe. He says, the woman which had an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Next verse, I'll show you. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife, in case your own, is that you are a believing husband and you mistakenly married an unbelieving wife who is an outright unbeliever. He says, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. Listen. Please, if you are with me, say amen. Amen. Let's read verse 14. Everybody, 1, 2, go. You see, your seed, your offspring, your children are more important to God than your feeling towards your wife or your husband in marriage. The seed is more important to God than how you are feeling in the marriage. If you understand this thing, you will know why divorce is not part of God's calculation. Your seed is more important than how you are feeling in the marriage. You can be saying, I don't feel loved, I don't feel appreciated, I don't feel valued, I don't get I. It is your seed that is God's continuation. His program are sustained by your seed. The Bible is making us see that even if your husband does not believe, he says, for the sake that the woman stayed or the man stayed and was continuing in their holiness or their righteousness. Of course, if you continue down this scripture, it says, peradventure, you may even win that unbelieving spouse unto righteousness. But he says, for your own sake, your children is sanctified. We come in the volume of the books. It was written about us to do your will, oh God. We come in the volume of the books. It was written about us to do your will, oh God. In the volume of the books, it was written about me. In case you don't know what I'm doing, I want to show you the import of seeds to God. How important seeds are to him. That your whether your husband is buying you gift or not, whether your wife is greeting you in the morning or not, God is not disturbed by that. It is the potency, the efficacy of this righteous seed you are able to bear. That is where his focus is on this matter. This is how important seeds are to God. That a seed is God's system of continuity, of reproduction, and God's system of his program of continuing his agenda across the ages. Let me share something with you, and it will be very important that you hold it dear to your heart. It's not just enough to have seeds. But you must recognize the power and the true capacities of sins. I shared somewhere on Friday, when you see an egg, you can buy it, you can fry it, you can boil it, you can use it to make cake, you can use it to make omelette, you can do many things with an egg. But the fact that it is useful as an egg does not mean that is the stage of life that it is most useful. Because if you give it the right atmosphere, which is the warmth necessary, this is why chickens, hens, sit down on top of that egg until, I think, after 21 days. 21 days of fellowship, 21 days of koinonia, suddenly a life is developed inside that egg that was once just a fluid. But because of fellowship, because of intimacy, something is developed on their inside. This is what I'm saying. It's not just enough to produce a seed. The nurturing process, the capacity to sit on them as a hen covers his cheek and raise them in the way of the Lord. He says, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. He says, train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. So you are not just given the capacity to bear seeds. It is your responsibility to nurture the seeds until they become real proofs of their potentials. This is what every skilled farmer do. No farmer keep his seed on the surface. When the dry season comes, after they are done harvesting, they know that they cannot just keep it like that. So they select part of the best yields, and they preserve those ones for the purpose of reproduction. So a farmer will not eat everything that comes to it. He reserves some for the sake of multiplication. And he does not just reserve anything. He reserves the finest specimen from his last harvest. So he takes them through a careful procedure of preservation. He makes sure all of these insects does not burrow into it and eat it up. So they preserve it. Once the seasons change, and you know that seasons have changed by the signs you get from the heaven, every wise farmer go and take that thing he has kept all along and start running to the land. Because although you can plant anytime. The heaven must give you a sign. So every wise farmer has something they reserve, waiting for the motion of the heaven so that they can go and engage with the earth. The moment the season shifts and they see that it's now the rainy season, all wise farmers, they run to the earth quickly. They know that if they don't follow this season, they will still plant. They can make arrangement for irrigation farming, but it will require extra energy and effort to get this same result that alignment would have made easy for you. They know not. Many people don't know the power of times. I will show you in Genesis chapter 8 from verse 22. It says, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time. It didn't say and harvest time. It said seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer. So it is only seed that has emphasis for time. It's not harvest. As long as you have planted, you are guaranteed a harvest. But it is only seed that have a particular window. There are crops, if you don't plant it in the first 2 months of rainfall, you can't plant it later. You have missed a window. There are crops that don't need too much rain. You see, this one I'm saying is only those who have done business with the land. They are the ones. Some of you are shaking your head. I know you don't know what you're saying. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 2, if you are writing, the Bible said, I want us to read together. It says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work. Please, if you are seeing it and you can read it, let's read together at the count of 2. 1, 2, go. Please say, God ended his work. Go ahead again. Say, God ended his work. See what followed it. He says, which he had made, and he rested. Hi. He rested from all his work which he had made. Hey,
Wait. Look at me. What does the Bible mean that on the seventh day, God ended his work? What does it mean by reemphasizing it that, and on the seventh day, he rested from all his work? God was on a mission. God declared an agenda to create. When God created, he hit the zenith of his merchandise of creation by recreating himself. So instead of two gods to be working side by side, he stepped out and gave the God he created this zone and said, control here. You continue the creation work. The reason why God rested was because man was created. It is man's time to continue God's agenda. So he willed the whole physical realm. This is what he meant by have dominion. Dominion means be in charge. Let me show you a scripture. In Psalm 115, verse 16, the Bible says the heavens, even the heavens, belongs to the Lord. But he put men to be in charge of the earth. Let me show you the message. Please give them the message translation. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. The heaven of heaven is for God. But he put us. I know you will not read it loud. Maybe you say it very loud. 1, 2, go. The heaven of heavens is for God. But he put us. Do you understand what he meant by God rested? Do you understand what he meant by God stopped from his labor? It's because he has delegated this particular assignment now to man. So he put us in charge. Please tell somebody by your side, I'm in charge. Come on, say it again like you mean it, I'm in charge. Maybe Psalm 82 will make sense to you now. In verse 6, he says, I say unto you, ye are gods. All of you are children of the Most High God. He says, but you die like mere man. So, is God saying you are not a mere man? Yes. Is God saying you are a God and not a man? Yes. Is God saying that for lack of knowledge, your existence has been reduced into a disadvantage? Yes. He said, he put us in charge. The devil is not in charge. The government is not in charge. Witches are not in charge. We are in charge. The moment this thing comes into your heart and the revelation busts open in you, there are many things you will not cry to God for again. You are the God in this world. Let me show you a scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says, for Satan, the God of this world, if Satan can become God in this world, what about you that was made a God? If Satan can snatch dominion and operate legitimately as the God of this world, what about you that it is your ordination to operate after the order of your true genetic capacity? You were created a son of your father. We are children of God. A God cannot give birth to anything short of himself. So he says, all of you are children of the Most High. So, instead of gods operating in the nature of gods, gods are now begging, gods are now crying, gods are rolling on the ground, gods are shouting amen as regarding prosperity. You don't understand. The moment every result was powered, they left a seed in that result to sustain it. So as long as, I told my friend some days ago, I said, God does not owe us anything. He has settled everybody from eternity. He has wired potentials into everybody. And he has given everybody capacities to dominate and to be successful in their life. Anybody that never emerged is because a wickedness has found expression over their life. It was the great teacher that says, I see another wickedness under the sun. He says, princes, although they are of royal stock, are walking on their feet, why servants are riding horses. This is where the sons of this world, this is where they have cheated us who are sons of light. The children of this world have become wiser in their generation than the sons of light. Because why we think that everything is powered by divine intervention,
the children of this world, they activate the principles that command results. So while you are crying for God to do something, they know that the power is with men, because the heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord, but he has put us in charge of the earth. So anything that happens around the earth, man is controlling it. Let me show you how powerful this statement is. It is so powerful that if God must move, men must pray. And prayer is that you, as a man, who is the legal occupant that controls the gift of headship, you use prayer to legitimize the operation of a spirit here. No spirit has legal claim to this space. So you use prayer to legitimize, to say, I permit you to operate. I sought for a man who will stand in the gap, who will raise a hedge, because God has an agenda. But if men don't enter into intercessory prayer styles so that they can articulate God's body and use prayer to authorize intervention, spirits cannot move here until men authorize it through prayer. This is what happens in the occult when they develop loyalty to covens and to altars. Those altars are also legitimizing operations of other spirits to operate on the earth, because any man can give legitimate ground to a spirit. As far as you are a man, you are the one that owns the earth. The earth has he given to the... He didn't say to the sons of God. He says to the sons of men. Is that in your Bible? So it means if you are not deliberately making way for God's agenda to be legitimized through your life, if the sons of this world open up themselves and legalize operations of dark spirits, they will prevail over you in your space. Because anybody who is stronger in priesthood will generate results. The heaven of heavens belongs to the Lord, but he has put us in charge of the earth. Please, I don't think we have grasped the essence of this scripture. I'm trying to tell you that you are not as helpless as you look. You are not as helpless as religion has painted it to you. Everything is not in the hand of God. There are matters that men can control. See, look at me. Maybe it will rest on you now. Till Jesus comes, there will be no time again that results as regarding these things I'm sharing with you. God will not cause the earth to bring forth any plant or bring forth any life by supernatural means anymore. It will be by seeds. For many years, our ignorance has been explored. For many years, the average church has been defrauded by ignorance. That amen you normally shout when they prophesy millions to your account. Did you receive the million? Why are you still planning to shout amen tomorrow? Does it not add up that something in this formula does not work? It was a wise man that says only a fool continues to do things the same way and expect a different result. That somebody just looked at your life and say, in the next 2 hours, I prophesy homage, and you shout amen. It is ignorance that has vocalized his identity. Because men who are skilled in knowledge, you know that it is a contraband to the laws of the spirit for anything to generate result without work. Now the unbeliever goes, assess a seed, plants the seed, begin to nurture the seed. The believer is in church praying. He's praying. He's calling God all kinds of names, telling God he's trusting him for a mighty work. Meanwhile, You come back after 10 years, the unbeliever looks well established, looks prospering, and the believer is now saying that it is because the unbeliever is walking in darkness, that's why Satan is favoring him. Meanwhile, it is the laws that govern creation. The powers were yielded into laws and principles. So it is principles and laws that now host many of the realities of creation. If you don't know the principles that govern any operation, you will continue to shadow box. From time to time, you will have a miracle, but your whole life cannot be built on miracle. You must understand working principles that borders around any result. There are guidelines and definite principles that guide it. Let me show us a scripture very quickly. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, from verse 1. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Verse 2. It says, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to plug up that which was planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build. May God bless His reading in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, please, if you are with me so far and you are getting blessed, can you shout amen? What is the seed of prosperity? Because prosperity is a result. What is the seed of fruitfulness? What is the seed of strength? What is the seed of divine preservation? Every result has a seed. Every outcome has a seed. The moment you begin to tell the clear-cut signs and the clear-cut principles that guide many results, you will see a lot of believers. The reason why we continue to flock the way of ignorance is because ignorance is easy. For you to just sit down and not care how the things will happen, but I know it will happen. We have stayed on these kinds of heart posture for many years. Ask the average Christian, what exactly is your guarantee that God will heal? He will say, I know God is merciful. He does not know the legitimate ground. He has no idea the works that Jesus has done to secure healing. He does not even know that it is illegal to be sick in the first place. He thinks that it is just because of God's benevolence. And so this level of ignorance continues to becloud many results. But there are clear-cut principles guiding every result. You know, what I'm trying to share with you is that there are things, if God help you to articulate and identify and begin to do today, your tomorrow is already guaranteed. Because the moment you can assess the seed and you engage that seed, your harvest is guaranteed. Men don't plant, but they are waiting for a harvest that there is no seed from their life that entered. Honor has a seed. Hi. Do you know? It is what you sow that you reap. Huh? Amen. So what the Bible was saying is that it is exactly that which you are able to lose is that same thing you will gain. Do you understand me? You will lose a few seeds of maize so that you can gain more maize. You will lose honor to gain honor. You will lose wealth to gain wealth. Everything will produce according to its kind. The children of this world, they understand these principles and they practicalize it day and night. The believer thinks everything has been done for him, so he is not willing to even understand the ways the foundation of ordinances that guides results. What do you lose? What must leave your life for a particular result to come into your life? That's the question I'm asking you. So if I ask maybe five people here, what are you trusting God for? As different as our faces look, that's how they will mention different things that they are waiting on God for. But while waiting, it would interest you to know that the Bible says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So you take a posture on earth, heaven takes dressing. The reason why I'm sharing these things with you is that the alignment and the order God created from the beginning was that He designed the heavens and the earth and gave man to be a custodian of the earth. While He does, or why He did so, is because He made man to be like Himself. Since man was created in God's image and God's likeness, God knows that man has his heart, man knows his will, man can replicate his agenda here on earth. So God knows that whatever He is doing in heaven, man can be doing on earth. But since there is now a deviation from the alignment from the earth, God is telling us that those of us who have been restored, who are sons of God, He says, whatsoever we bind on earth, there will be an alignment of that same motion in heaven. Meaning, they can trust your capacity to take decisions that correlates with God's pressing agenda. So the state of that particular city in the heavens, see what happened to Sodom. In the physical, Sodom looked like a prosperous city. Everybody was going about their business. In the spiritual, Sodom was an abomination, and their iniquity has ascended into heaven. So in that land called Sodom, if you assess it spiritually, it has a different report from when you assess it physically. So if you want to now merge the reality between spiritual and physical, there must be priests, there must be praying altars generated from Sodom, who will be saying, over Sodom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here in Sodom as it is in heaven. So that particular fraternity between earth and heaven, making sure that the heaven and the earth share a similar focus, a similar pattern, and a similar navigation pattern, that is exactly what God's agenda is concerning the earth and the heaven. And anytime we pray, He says, we bind. In heaven, they bound. So you do in present tense, heaven will backdate it. Because before you showed up, all the foundations were out of course. But now that you came, anything you speak, although you are speaking it now, heaven will backdate it. They will restore it to the ancient order. So when you show up in that family and you say, in the name of Jesus, I shut the door of captivity. When you are doing so, what you have done is that you have said, as it is from the beginning, from the chronicles of God's program, where there was no captivity, where there was no sickness, no infirmity, I restore this family into their real order with God. I restore them to their eternal order. So He says, if you bind on earth, it will be bound. If you loose on earth, it will be loosed. It means the impact of your priesthood can affect a time called past. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus. It says, to everything there is a season, and there is a time to every purpose under heaven. When the Bible says, to everything there is a season, and there is a time to every purpose, it began to give us certain insights that are necessary for us to take a journey tonight. I have shared quite extensively on understanding
seeds. Now I want to share on understanding peace. When the Bible says there is a time to everything and there's a season to every purpose, the only way to understand it is to look upon Job chapter 2 from verse 10. Job chapter 2 from verse 10. Everybody, let's read together. 1, 2, go. You speak as one of the impious and foolish women. And we speak. What? Shall we accept only good at the hand of God? And shall we not accept also misfortune? In spite of all this, Job did not sin with his lips. May God bless his reading in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, in the scripture I began to read out to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 from verse 1, the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. A time to be born and a time to die. And so it's beginning to show us that there are matters that are unavoidable. And no matter how much we can discern that these things are unavoidable and they are ordinances, but there is always a pattern to which we react and we respond to those occurrences. For instance, no matter how old a person gets, when they die, your loved ones or their loved ones always find it sorrowful and they cry. The truth is that it would have been general knowledge to know that this person has reached an age where we are expecting them to die, and that death is an ordinance you cannot escape. But people will always still act surprised that it happened. Meanwhile, the flip side of the coin is that nobody wants to die. There are more old people quoting "I shall not die" than there are young people quoting it. And so the more a man comes close to the grave, the more he fights that reality that he cannot escape. I want to show us something, and I know it will bless you in no little way. I want to show you a matter that God will be using to strengthen some people's faith tonight. Job said to his wife, will we receive good from the hand of God? And will we not also receive adversity? See what it means. The average Christian lives his life reacting, responding, and generating feedbacks from the occurrence and the events around him. We are happy because something good happened. We are joyful because our expectations were met. We are at peace and at rest because what we wanted played out the way we wanted it. However, it is consistent with the ways of God that as much as it pertains to your peace, it should not be based on anything mundane. In fact, Jesus began to make it clear to us that my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, because this peace, it surpasseth understanding. It is not peace because of something that happened. It's not peace because of a knowledge you have. It is peace that is supplied to you in the Holy Ghost. It is part of the resource that the Holy Ghost brings to the believer. Because righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, such is the kingdom of God. And so the peace we speak about is the antidote to many infirmity, many affliction that people go through. The average young person is buffeted by many health challenges. In fact, the number of young persons who are plagued by high blood pressure, when you see a young man, just catch him and check his blood pressure. I say catch. I know why I use that word. He will be wrong. His whole life is in a haste. He's rushing, trying to pursue something. So just catch him and check his blood pressure. You will be amazed. Many people are piercing themselves with many sorrows because of a quest for accumulation, a quest to accumulate wealth.
This is unfortunately, this is the pulsating factor behind many people's existence. They live to earn. They live to gather. They live to accumulate. And so the moment anything other than God becomes the core for your peace is momentary. Your peace is easy to deflate. Your peace can be punctured anytime. Let me give you an illustration that will help us and it will make sense to us. If I come to you, you are singing a song in the morning. Maybe you are singing, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Then I come and I said, that investment that you and Amos did, the site don't crash. Then your song now changed. He can never, never fail. He can never, never fail. He can never, never fail. Jesus the same forever. You are still singing spiritual songs, but you are not built up on a firm foundation. And that thing that is happening in your life with spiritual thing is a sign that you will also be a puppet before demons. Because your peace, your navigation, your thoughts, your direction in the spirit is influenced by what news you receive per time. We are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Let me tell you why. Our peace is not hinged on any news. Our peace is not hinged on any particular outcome. We believe what we believe because God has given us peace. You see, a king once asked some artists to paint a picture of peace for him. And so somebody drew a dove sitting on a branch of a tree, and the tree was just by the stream of a very peaceful flowing water and a lush green vegetation behind it. I mean, is that not a picture of peace? And the second artist drew fire, an inferno on a tree, and a dove sitting inside the fire, not flying. Then they call two of them and say, can you explain how this communicates peace? The second artist said, look at the tranquility, the serenity, the peace. Because his own peace is by external conditions. But the second person knows that peace is not because of what is happening. Peace is a state of your heart. There is a way everything is shutting down, all kinds of news. And David will say, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? See, I need somebody to know how we overcome from. The moment Satan can no longer control you, he has lost power. The greatest affront Satan has for many of us is this whole attack on reaction. The devil knows he can control you because he can get a reaction from you. Look at, you are standing and somebody shows up. You have been a joyful person. Somebody shows up and slap you. The moment they slap you, all your human instinct go into action. The first thing that will enter is, don't let this moment pass until you have also communicated the slap. Let it not be known that it is you that the thing ended with. Before peace will come. Yes, I'm a person of peace, but before the peace will come, let me quickly give him two. Listen, if the devil can get a reaction from you, the devil is controlling you. There are many people who entered worldly lifestyle, many people who went into immorality because somebody cheated on them in a faithful relationship. For the first time in their life, they now felt like they wanted to even up. They didn't know that spirits were luring them into reaction. Many of the ill decisions, many of the wrong choices people have made, it is reactions to the signals of spirits. They know that they can get reaction from you, and they know that by your reaction, they can control you. It was my father that told me something some years back.
he said that if somebody hit me or blow me in school and I did not do anything, the report will be that they beat me. But that it is only until I respond that they will say we fought. So it takes two to fight. What I'm trying to share with you is that all of the agenda and the attack of Satan is programmed, is detailed, is planned with your humanity in mind. They know that unless you are not a human being, if you are a human being, once you match her leg and you hiss and pass, this is how she will react. Once you are a human being, if your husband wake up and he does not talk to you and he goes out and you realize it was your birthday and he did not send anything and he comes back, there is something in your spirit. Let me explain something to you. It is only people who can see. You will need to make Satan confused. All of his plan is in the light that unless you are not a human being. And so for the sake of the energizing of the Holy Ghost on your inside, for many times you need to act outside the potential of humanity. There are many times Satan has plotted something with the mind that you will need to defend yourself, and that when you want to defend yourself, then the attack will prosper. Somebody was driving his car. A reckless driver came and scratched him a bit. When the driver scratched him, the driver now put hand outside of his glass and did like this. So the thing, you know, there's one hit that will enter your heart first. You now say, wait. You scratch my car, you now insult me on top. Something will now tell you that this thing, if you don't teach this person a lesson, they have cheated you. The moment this man rushed, overtook this person, just to prove that point, came out of the car, this person that did waka to him had an arm since, and he came out and shot him. The moment he shot him and he died, when I looked at the scene that played out, I said, what if he remained inside his car and the only thing that he incurred as a loss was a small scratch on his car? The whole of that attack was programmed from the courts of darkness. But there is a part of that attack only you can help Satan achieve. And so they count on your humanity, that if you do this to a human being, this is his reaction. It is when you react as a human being, that is when the program of darkness succeeds. This is why I am coming to one scripture. Jesus says, when they slap you on this cheek, the normal thing is an eye for an eye. But Jesus says, you turn the other cheek. He's saying, don't allow the world get a reaction from you. The moment everything you do is, see, if Satan knows that he can press your button and there's something you will do if he does this, he can control you. Somebody is angry, full of anger, then brought their anger to your space, then did something to you. You too, you now became angry. He has changed you. You are not in control. You are so easily influenced because that which God has kept around you, you are not able to preserve it. I'm repeating it again. You must be able to stand and wield control against situation, against circumstance. Whether anything happened or not, you should not always be a reactive person. Is God blessing someone? This is where battles are won from. This is where the plot of demons become frustrated. They have calculated. They have planned that by the time we keep this womb closed, By 2 years, the in-laws will start mounting pressure. By the third year, the husband might start showing signs of cheating. By the fifth year, they will be ridiculed from church and other places. Unless she's not a human being, by the fifth year, she will come to a dark altar to seek a child. The whole of the attack is not a child that is the attack. The attack is that come and bow to another God. But they have a program that will give you access
or keep you exposed to certain attack, the attack itself is to get a reaction from you. This is why if you are going to win wars, if you are going to prevail over the program of darkness, you must per time hold your peace. Don't react all the time. In fact, let me make it clear to us. If the devil can get a reaction from you, he will control you. Who turns the other cheek when they slap them? Jesus is saying, frustrate them. Don't let them control you. Let your actions. Unfortunately, many people's thoughts, their words, their action is only a reaction to the activities around their life. They are happy because good things are happening. They are sad because maybe a bad news came. They don't know how to retain God's essence per time. This is what Job was saying to his wife. He says, shall we receive good from God and not adversity? So, whether things are working or not, you rejoice in the Lord. Whether you are disappointed by the news you receive or not, you choose to maintain your peace. Nothing takes your joy from you. You retain that joy. This is how you will realize with time all the ailments and the attacks. If you know how many diseases are built around bitterness, that's the door. It attaches itself to the life of people. Bitterness. Let's bow our heads 1 minute wherever you are. Your prayer is very simple. Stir self-control on my inside. Self-control, self-control. Let me not be a puppet in the hand of darkness. Let my actions not be falling into the trap of the enemy. Are you talking to God where you are? Self-control. Area Satan is causing havoc around your life. Every area he is wrecking and he is scattering by generating wrong reactions. Wrong reactions. I take control. That anger in your life that Satan is maximizing to burn bridges, to ruin destiny relationships, to scatter the program of God. Lord, self-control. I wield self-control. I rise above this ancient narrative of just reacting. If you don't rise above it, you will be a puppet in the hand of demons. The propensity for pride.
the tendency for a lying tongue that is inside you, that spirits provoke, that spirits lure. Are you here and by ignorance, by the attack of the enemy on your mind, you have called God a strange name on account of a season of adversity? The same God that has showed you faithfulness, Satan has successfully made your heart to question God's faithfulness, to question God's goodness, to question. This is the battle that Job fought. He says, shall I receive good from the hand of God and not adversity? He says, my Redeemer liveth. Even if he slay me, I will praise him. This is where men win that battle. Because a handful of us, we continue to fall because Satan provoke reactions from us. Listen. It took Nebuchadnezzar and showed him from the gallery, showed him from the pinnacle of the royal palace, and showed him the glory of Babylon. Then the guy responded. What spirits do is to get reactions from you. What they do is to pull strings, and then you react to the string. It will look physically like you are the one that took the action. They inspired the action. They were the ones that pulled the string that generated that action. A spirit can want you to exhibit pride so that God will debase you, so that God will bring you down. They themselves know they cannot bring you down, but they are counting on the law of God to punish you. So they create an avenue that will provoke that pride from you, so that the moment pride comes out, the law of God will fight you, so that it is God that is fighting you, not them. A spirit can cause you to disregard time for a reason you cannot explain. You will just be procrastinating. Something you should do today, you will say tomorrow, you will say next tomorrow. And the real intent of the spirit is to make sure poverty and scarcity and the devourer find expression in your life. But that thing cannot happen until they allow you, through your reaction. Hi. One day you will appear like this before the king, and you are not prepared for any promotion because you have never used time well. All the time God gave you, spirits made sure that every time you have, they put a thought in your heart and say, what about that seasonal film? Season 2 will be interesting. Oh, why don't you just check it? You think you are the one that sat down for 24 hours and wasted it? That's not you. You are under influence. You think you are the one that got up by yourself and carried your phone? Sometimes in a whole movie you are watching, a spirit took you to that movie just because of 5 seconds in the movie. They just needed your eye to see a particular picture of defilement so that a seed can be provoked in your heart. That seed will now generate a reaction. So your action going forward is a product of the strings that spirits are pulling, and they are hiding behind the scene like they are not the ones. So everybody is doing what they are doing because a spirit is pulling a string. Even those who are doing good, no man has it in himself to be good. A spirit is inspiring. Nobody will favor you in this life until a spirit pull a string. We are all helplessly under the influence of the spirits that are ruling us. Somebody gets up for no reason. Everybody tries to talk him out of it. For no reason, he is very, very insistent. I want to travel. It was death that was calling him. Meanwhile, he will not have died if he does not enter that road. So, it took a partnership of you before Satan's will prosper.
What if he never goes out? The accident that was plotted notwithstanding will not carry his life, because he did not play into that script. I'm telling you that the average man is only reacting. He's reacting to something. There is something. This is how many people, your soul has been recalibrated. The way you might be listening to 96.9 FM stereo at night before you fall asleep, then you now woke up and found out that somebody has tuned and left that particular frequency and is listening to another station. Please give me another frequency. 98.9 96.1. Now see, there's a frequency that your soul will be fine-tuned to, and you will become very receptive to signals of lust. In every situation, you will pick lust, even where other people cannot pick it. Because it is your soul, it is the state of your soul that is responsible for what you can pick. You will sit down like this in church, as holy as this congregation is. You are busy saying, Lord, help my heart, help me. Hi, temptation is strong here. It's your soul. We are all at the receiving end. Everybody is reacting to something. Including the man who has lived holding on to the altars of consecration. There is something that keeps a reminder on his heart that makes it difficult for him to wander away from the ordinance of God. We are responding to something, everybody. Somebody will pray one prayer wherever you are now. That's why I want us to pray this night. Your prayer is, Lord, retune my soul. Retune. This is what he meant by he restored my soul. Because every departure that iniquity can do to your soul, God can realign it and make sure that your signals, and make sure that your yearning, and make sure that your civilization is coming from the altars of God. The same way somebody is sitting down and is thinking about immorality, you can sit down and a scripture will pop up in your mind, and the light of the scripture will begin to open up. You can sit down and a hunger for fasting will just enter your soul, and food will lose taste. Everybody is responding to something. Restore my soul. Restore my soul. There are marriages that are going through turbulence because both parties, they are playing into the script of Satan. They are playing into the narrative of Satan. Tonight, somebody will rebel out of that ordinance and say, I will not act like a man. I awake from all of these realities of the mundane. I rise. Listen, there are ordinations, there are mandates that are under attack in this hall. There are those of you that naturally
you are so, so caring. You are so considerate of people's plight. You are quick to help people. And the devil makes sure that he orchestrates several events to teach you a bitter lesson that it is not good to help. Everybody you have communicated help to, they have always treated you evil. Your good deed have been recompensed with evil. And the reason is to change you, to reconfigure you from within, so that your nature as a savior, as a deliverer, you will abandon it on account of the sour experience that you have had. So that the day your heart now changes and you now say, from what I can gather, it's not good to help men. It is as good as you are dead, because you are sent into time to be a savior and a deliverer. How can you save a people that you have no sympathy for? This is how Satan is generating all kinds of reactions from people. I want somebody to be violent tonight and shake off every negative experience that has been channeled to reconfigure your soul. Everything Satan has channeled your way to discourage your good deed, to discourage your walk in righteousness, it's a good time to shake it off. They said you are a fool. They said you are a fool. Just because you are refusing to look through their lens, because you are refusing to change your belief, they are trying to get a reaction from you. I choose to remain believing God, believing the things He says. I will not change my convictions. Listen, please, give me your attention. There are many school of thought flying in the world as a proof that many men have been influenced and civilized by this same program of reaction I'm talking about. Many people are only at the receiving end. Everything that they are doing is because a spirit provoked them. They did not know. There is nothing that they remained and stood their ground for. Every action they are taking, the words that leave their mouth, is because of one thing that happened around them. You dated a lady, she cheated on you. Dated another girl, she broke your heart. As at the third person, a whisper enter your heart: girls are cheats. As at the third guy, men are scum. Does this sound like the language of the world? It's a reaction. It's something they want to generate from you. I need somebody. Just use 2 minutes of tongue and separate yourself from every negative heart posture, every negative confession that is reigning in our time. I am not one of them.
Listen. Listen. It's not only adversity that Satan uses to get reactions from people, including blessings too. There are people that adversity does not work on them. It's blessing. This is what the psalmist was talking about in Proverbs chapter 30 from verse 7 to 9. He says, do not give me too much, lest I eat and I forget you. He says, and don't let me go in scarcity so that I don't put my hand into sin. He says, give me only as much as I need. Because he discerned that excess can provoke a negative reaction. Also, for him, scarcity can also provoke it. I need somebody to pray tonight and say, Lord, check my tendencies. Check my tendencies. Check my heart. Check my proclivities. Anything capable of derailing me from your path, anything capable of sending me to damnation, please wire capacity into me. Build me up from the inner man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing can steal my joy. Nothing can dictate my happiness. My joy is inherent. It is in the Holy Ghost. The moment Satan discovers that whether he brings any news, whether he sends any agent, whether anybody does anything around you, it does not alter the state of your heart. He has lost the battle over your life. It was Satan and God that discussed as regarding the man Job. God told Satan, you can test him, you can tempt him, but don't take his life. See what his temptation is. All your sons are in the field feasting. Behold, a strange wind came and removed the pillars, and the house fell upon them, and all your children are dead. Oga tore his robe and put on ashes. That's how they mourn. He entered into a mourning. Even though his heart conceived pains, his lips never spoke anything evil. As though that was not enough, another servant was running and coming and saying, all your sheep, they were feeding in the wilderness. Behold, see, what the devil was trying to get from Job was only wanting reaction. Reaction. That's what he's looking for in your life too. Reaction. You went for that job interview. You were so sure from the way the whole thing went, you would get it. On that Monday morning, after your morning devotion, after the joy, you don't know why you were happy that day. Then you just looked at your email. And suddenly, waiting for you there is a disappointing reply. We are sorry to announce to you. The moment you lose your peace, you have lost the battle. You see that report. Sorry. It's not a time to mourn. It's a time to rejoice. The moment you initiate that particular gesture of thanksgiving in the face of even this negative report, you have shown Satan that I got your message. I know where it came from. You will not get any reaction from me. If your prayers and your heart of gratitude to God fluctuates by how you are feeling and the news that is around you part time, Satan will sap out
Kairos seasons out of your life. His wife came to him and said, curse God and die. Why is Satan so hell bent on let something leave this person's mouth? They just want a reaction. Nigeria, I need somebody to do what I'm about to tell you to do. Nigeria is not a failed state. Don't join the bandwagon of people who are busy reacting to the things that they see. We who are sons of God, we don't live by sight, we live by faith. The Bible says when men will be saying there's a casting down, we will say there's a lifting, because we choose not to react to what we are seeing. He says, why we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Because the things which are seen are temporal. Refuse to react. God is healing many marriages this night. You go back home, sister, your submission is not dependent on your husband's behavior. His behavior put aside. I choose to submit because God told me to. You won that war there. Husbands, loving your wife is not because she submitted first. Your love is as Christ loved the church, because he died for the church when the church does not deserve it. In that, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you don't react. You do it because you were ordered by God to take that posture. The moment you stop reacting to things, you will realize that Satan has no hold anymore. You see that person you are not greeting in that flat, that person you are not talking to, it's a reaction. Choose to live above the reactive realm. I am who I am by the grace of God. Nobody can get any behavior from me. If I do something and it changes your behavior, I have influenced you. I have controlled you. That me, from my own end, I do something and that thing that I did now got a new behavior from you. I controlled you. I need you to see it the way it's being painted this night. Satan will not control me. You sit down like this and somebody comes and say, see what I just heard. This your friend, that your friend. They met together. See what they said about you. Your mind wants to become bittered. That bitterness is reaction. What if you did not hear about it? Won't your heart be clean? I choose not to react. This is what Jesus meant when he said, when they slap the cheek, turn the other one. Don't react. When the devil tries to get reactions from you and he fails, he will give up. He will switch his mood. He knows that your responses are not based on the impulses they are pulling. Your reality is defined by the word. The word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The word says, say unto the righteous, it shall be well. This is our confession. Somebody comes saying all kinds of negative things just to make you make one comment. The moment you say that thing, you have sealed your destiny. It is well with me. It is well with my soul. They say, see how all this, sister, you are busy trusting your husband. See where he's walking. Let me tell you one truth. Take my word for it. Take my word for it. Not everybody's experience will be your own. People can share their challenges with you. If you run with their challenge and change, you will create a fresh problem in your own home. I choose not to react. Satan showed up in your dream and came with a face of a masquerade and said, I will kill you. When you wake up, don't react. Behave as though you didn't hear anything. Stay only with the word of God. When you go that morning, it's not time to say, we fast. Every spirit of death, who told you he will die? It's like Adam. Adam is now doing something that God never told him. So God asked him, who told you are naked?
You are now describing yourself as I am naked. But God said, who told you? Now you have reacted to a voice that you did not hear from me. There are very innocent people, many of us, very good relationships we ended because you heard one or two things, and because of the fear, you took a reaction. You choose tonight. Choose tonight. My information, my convictions, my belief, they are molded by the word of God. Anything outside the word, I don't believe it. I only go by the word. If God says I shall not die, and a demon say you will die, I believe God. I only believe him. You get up now because of a dream you had. In the dream, something beat you. As the team beat you, there was a pain in your back in the dream. You now got up, and then you are feeling one small pain. You rush straight to the hospital. You are reacting. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Listen, please, if you can, hold the hands of somebody by your side. You are going to pray for that person. You are not praying for yourself. You are praying for the persons you are holding their hands. Your prayer is very simple. Lord, every seed time, every opportunity to sow the right action, to sow the right seeds, to sow the right investments, as I begin to pray, let there be restoration. Let there be restoration for my brother, for my sister. Order their feet, order their step, and guide them into Kairos moments. Guide my brother, guide my sister. We restore the years that the canker worm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar has eaten. We call back the seasons you have missed. We judge the altars of darkness. For we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. We are not ignorant of the devices of the wicked.
are manipulated. People are manipulated. You are sleeping in the night, and suddenly the person who is supposed to do you good, the enemy comes and uses their face and show you in the night that they are holding a knife, and you wake up and say, this is an enemy. It's a reaction. Manipulative schemes. You are going to pray tonight. Every wickedness, every manipulative scheme done with my face to cheat me out of breakthroughs, to teach me out of destiny relationships, as I begin to pray, I cancel, I terminate, I cancel all of those programs in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Please, can we lift up our hands wherever we are? Father, in the name of Jesus, over your people, every season, every attack, every beam deployed to provoke negative reactions from their life and cheat them out of seasons and cheat them out of alignment. As I pray, I banish those influences from their life now in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything sent to misrepresent you to your destiny, help us. Everything sent to misrepresent you in the day of promotion. Everything sent to misrepresent you in the hearts of those who want to do you well. Everything that make people change their mind anytime they want to help you, I cancel those narratives now in the name of Jesus. Every operation of wickedness that has been installed in your life to keep you stagnant in a season, to make sure you don't advance, to make sure you don't increase, now let every embargo be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. We push you beyond your parents has ever arisen. We push you beyond anybody from your bloodline has ever gone. We shift you by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Every mistake you have made because you have taken a step, because you have been misinformed by the wicked plots of darkness, let the restoration power of God begin to bring back opportunities that will help you cover lost grounds in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to your hand. Every gift you have abandoned, every skill you have ignored, every grace that you have looked away from, may the Lord begin to breathe His life upon it now. Amen. May God prosper the works of your hands. Amen. Listen, with this your hand, you will build old waste places. In your lifetime, you will complete the project of previous generation and your own. You will finish the incomplete projects of many generations and your own. Now I speak over you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every plot, every junction, every location where a gang up has been set on account of you to harm you or to cause you any distress. Their plot is terminated now in the name of Jesus Christ. You receive the favor of God now. You receive the favor of God now. You receive the favor of God now. Now I speak to every seed that you will plant as it drops on the land. You know, he says to wake up early and sleep late at night only to eat the bread of sorrow. Anything that makes you labor without results, anything that makes you work hard without proof, by the hand of the Lord, we cancel all of those frustrating seasons and we usher you into a new season of abundance in the name of Jesus. Now increase on all sides. Increase on all sides. Multiply on all sides. Be fruitful and multiply on all sides. Listen to me. Every power that has reigned in any space that you are before now, it says the heaven of heavens are the Lord, but the earth he has put us in charge. Let the power of God that makes for dominion, that makes for rulership, let it become evident in your life and let it command dominion in your sphere in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not be hidden anymore. You will not be ignored anymore. No veil will cover you anymore. Everything that hides your glory is torn away in the name of Jesus. I terminate utterances. I terminate verdicts. I terminate decrees. I cancel curses. And I declare over your life, you are like the righteous. You shine from brighter to brighter to brighter unto a perfect day in the name of Jesus. Everything God has put in your life, everything God has settled you with, that is yet to find expression. Now let the fire of activation, let it begin to unveil your gifts now. No more would you walk in oblivion. No more would you walk in confusion. You shall hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I declare peace over everything connected to you. Listen to me. I command sicknesses to leave your bodies now. I command diseases to disappear now. Every negative medical report is cancelled now. Your health is restored. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you are cleansed and you are made whole. Listen to the word of the Lord. You shall not die. Did you hear me? You shall not die. You will live to declare the works of the Lord. Now in this week, as you go into this week, may there be unusual orchestration of divine connections. Whoever you are ordained to meet, that will usher new seasons into your life, that will lead you into higher heights, that will give you access to the palace, whoever must talk to Pharaoh about you, in this week, may God ordain your feet and theirs to connect. Listen, this is how we prosper the people of God. We push them forward by decrees and utterance. Every place you have labored that has refused to yield, now let favor come upon your labor. Every field that has proven to be barren, every field that has been reduced by famine, every investment you have made, every place you have worked, every job you have done,
that no return has come from there. I command fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. People will start remembering you to pay you back what they owe you. Jobs that were done even years ago, they will call you now to pay you for it. Applications that were submitted and forgotten, suddenly they will revisit your case and they will open the door for you. This week will be littered with good news for you. Good news will be waiting for you left, right, and center. Listen, any move Satan takes around your life, may God give you capacity to discern him. The ministry of angels, ministering spirits, it will follow you from today going forward. The things required for your lifting, required for your promotion, required for your uplifting, required for your exaltation, that you cannot do, maybe because you are not skilled enough, you are not opportuned, by any reason you cannot do it, may the help of God cover for you. While you are asleep, even while you are awake, let the angels of God go on assignment on your behalf. Let there be swift visitation to wicked altars. Every altar devouring and consuming the souls of people from that family. Today we send the envoys of God and we declare that that wickedness is cut off. In the name of Jesus. Everything responsible for delays. Every stumbling block that nobody from your family can cross. You are beginning to see it in your own life too. And you can now trace the pattern. And you are asking yourself, so is this how my life will be? I bring good tidings to you, brother. Every wickedness that has prospered before now, after this meeting, they collapse like the wall of Jericho. They collapse like the wall of Jericho. It collapsed like the wall of Jericho. I know you have gone into businesses that failed. Now, the favor of God comes upon your hand. He says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalm 1 verse 3. Now, anything that you are involved in must prosper. Even when it is not working, the moment you join yourself to it, it begins to prosper in the name of Jesus. As it was for Jacob in the house of Laban, as it was for Joseph in the house of Potiphar, they both had a particular recognition that I know God has blessed me because of you. Let that be your testimony from today going forward. Anything that carries your name or your face is favored. Do you know this week is loaded for you? There is something God is very deliberate about. Listen, this is a Kairos season for some people. There are many open doors, many opportunities that is staring you at the face. And you know that if God can just breathe life on one, you are made. That is what God is doing. That's why you see we are insisting on the matters that he has kept us in. I prophesy again, every door you have been knocking on that has refused to open, Ephata, be opened in the name of Jesus. You say there's no connection. I don't know anybody in the office. Hi. May God carry you like a beggar from the dunghill and set you up among the princes. Now, I speak a supernatural turnaround to everybody's finance in this place. Let there be unusual connections, unusual open doors, unusual access, This week will be littered with strategic informations. Step into prepared blessings. Others will labor and they will bring you into the reward. Projects they have been pursuing for 20 something years, the day it's about to materialize, they will invite you and say, come. Listen, in this land, Kaduna, may God connect you to the wealthy place. In this land, Kaduna, may you eat the good of this land. Anything keeping you away from honor, keeping you away from favor, anything continuing to put you along situations of shame, of ridicule, situations of helplessness, every cord that keeps you tied to those reality is broken now in the name of Jesus. This week will be full of supernatural ideas. Something will be quickened in your heart. Do this, do this, do this. And as you hearken, you will increase on all sides. You receive the help of the Lord. You are favored of the Lord. And listen, everybody and anyone who is incensed against your rising and seeks to cut you off, may the vengeance of God visit them. Let the seal of God come upon you. Let the markings of God come upon you. Let none touch you. Your going out and your coming in is preserved. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, everybody here who labor legitimately, we supply favor to you now. That extra advantage that you need to prevail, to excel, it is released to you now. Go back to everything you have been doing. Go back to that business. Sister, tomorrow, go and open by 8 a.m. Don't waste time. Open. Your business will start blossoming now. The anointing that causes for increase has gone ahead of you. That marriage that is almost collapsing, a fresh outburst of love is revived in it. Brother, sister, when you go back, treat your spouse with honor. You will find that God has healed them from within. We cancel every program of crisis in your home. Your home is restored. Now, I speak over every child, every seed of your loin that is causing you headache, that has caused a lot of crisis for the family. I declare by the orchestration of the Holy Ghost, they are arrested in the name of Jesus. We draw them and we pull them to come under the Lordship of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my help has come. Somebody here, you have even forgotten where your certificate is because you got so discouraged. Nothing is opening. Please go and look for it. It is about to open doors for you. There is also someone here, you have kept your phone switched off. You don't even pick calls anymore because you are not expecting anything. In this week you are entering, answer any call that enter, any number you don't know, pick it. Something is about to happen. Did you hear me? Something supernatural is about to happen. God is causing for the factors to align for your good. So be positioned for breakthroughs. There are those of you trusting God for marital settlement. I don't want to tell you what to do this week, but come out in your best attire. Let your hair be always oil. Let your garments be white. You don't know the moment or the hour wherein the Son of Man will come. Expect good things to happen for you this week. Listen, prophecies that are captured within a frame of time are dangerous. It means it's not just left vague. Every day for the next 7 days, you wake up with a consciousness that something good is about to happen to me. Every day for the next 7 days, you wake up knowing that my situation is about to change any moment from now. I don't care whether you are drinking garri. Tell everybody drinking that garri with you, I will not be with you guys for long. Any moment from now, like Joseph, I sleep in the dungeon with you one night. The next day, I am the prime minister. Tell somebody, don't look down on me yet. Listen, please don't get discouraged. There are people that promised and you knew it was in their capacity to do things, then they gave you an attitude. I'm speaking to a particular person now. They gave you an attitude and it provoked you, got you offended, and you too, you concluded in your heart that you will not talk to such a person again and you will not bring up that talk again. Hear the word of the Lord. As you leave now, swallow your pride and greet that person again this night and remind them of that thing that didn't happen all along. This time it will happen because the angel of the Lord has gone ahead of you. Did you hear me? Including places you have received no. Go again. Go again tomorrow. This week is pregnant for you. You know, my emphasis was on seeds. This is particularly for people who have labored, people who are sowing seeds, not for idle, careless people who don't do anything and just think that something will happen. If peradventure God chooses to make you a benefactor of the bounty of this week, don't build your life on miracles alone. There must be systems, predictable principles that governs your operation. Somebody is stepping into a bigger shoe. That's what I see. So, what God is doing for you, your own this week, what will happen to you this week, is that something will be given to you that you have been preparing for. A particular height that you have been trusting God for, it will be brought into it. You have tarried on this mountain for too long. You have remained on this stage for too long. In this week, something will be arranged to give you access to higher heights in the name of Jesus. Between parents and children, husband and wives, brothers and sisters, every misunderstanding that you have is because of reaction. Reaction. Go back and forgive everybody. Let no bitterness be in your heart. You need to journey into this week light. You are about to receive many things. So let go of all the weight so that you can carry the things God is bringing for you this week. Some of you, when you leave here, send a text message, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm sorry. Some of you, send an apology. I am sorry. Find a place in your heart to forgive me. Travel light. This week will be full of signs and wonders for you. Listen, this is for someone here. What you have worked on for many years, your reward is coming this week. I say this as a servant of God. Your reward is coming this week. Can we bow our heads and appreciate God?
Glory to God! We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com. www.facebook.com/anacazomissioninternational.ami or join us on our Telegram channel at Anacazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26767 6055. +233 26767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.